plan. I think I might have sat here a year ago quite proudly saying that we got it down to one page. So there had been five pages previously. And, then we're back to five pages, or three and a half or something like that. It's partly we've been a bit generous because we have the research projects in there now that we didn't previously have. I just want to touch on a couple of things. You know, Sue's got the core projects, the major large ones, as well as that. After the agenda consultation process, we added some smaller projects in there to deal with some specific issues. You'll see that in rate-regulated activities, we've got a proposal for an interim standard that will grandfather existing practice. It's not quite pure grandfathering, because if we grandfathered, we'd actually have rate-regulated activities would affect the carrying amounts of property, plant, equipment, and so on. So Canadian companies, for example, that will be allowed to grandfather their practice will still have to strip out of PP&E, the rate-regulated effects, and they collapse them down into a debit or a credit, depending on you know, rate-regulated asset or liability, or debit or credit, I should say, because we haven't determined whether it's an asset or liability. So we're doing that to enhance comparability. In other words, you'll get all the PP&E numbers and all the income numbers will be as if they've got full IFRS, but we still allow them to have the residual effect of rate regulated in there. And that's why we do, at the same time, we'll be doing a major project, and we've got a discussion paper scheduled out this year on that. We've got some things on bearer plants, the Malaysians, you know, in particular, about rubber trees and palm oil and so on, the difficulties in valuing those. So we're going to, you know, my standing joke is we're moving some of those into IS 16, so it becomes property, plants, and equipment rather than property, plant, and equipment. And it's essentially a cost model for the trees, and then you account for the produce as it grows or as it comes off. Still some challenges in that because, you know, a rubber tree, they take about 2 kilograms of rubber out of each tree per year, apparently. And, of course, you're supposed to value it while it's in situ. So there's still some issues we're having to deal with, but we think this will be a major simplification for people. The biggest thing we've got, if you have a look through our list here, is the implementation. You know, I could start to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, a lot. We've got people asked us to make our interpretations committee and the board more responsive by either tidying up narrow scope improvements or by producing interpretations, and we have succeeded in being more responsive. And the outcome is that I think this end of this month we'll have 9 documents out for comment. We understand the pressures that causes for preparers and in particular people writing comments to us. We are having a look at that, and we're going to try and do a few things to rationalise that. And they include, for example, to help for those who have to implement our standards, rather than finalise our annual improvements and then 4 separate narrow scope improvements over a period of 6 to 8 weeks, we will delay publication of some, bring them all together, and put one package out. So when you're considering for your systems, for example, you're going to get one package together rather than something coming out every single week. I mean, people, just the sheer volume actually causes difficulty. We know for comment letters, just writing a comment letter, the processes some companies have to go through to get sign-off, they'd rather do it once than do it, you know, on a series of things. So we are looking at doing some packaging. The 2 other interesting things on there as well are post-implementation reviews. We're about to wrap up our operating segments review. We have the draft feedback statement I got last week, and we're going to try and see if we can get that out by the end of this month, essentially, which is, there are a few little tweaks that we're going to, the staff will bring some papers back about the definition of the chief operating decision maker and a couple of other aspects. But at this stage, there's certainly no recommendation to fundamentally review operating segments, and that's consistent with the US. Because we have a converged standard with the FASB, any steps that we do take, we are taking with the FASB. So that they held back from there once they finished their review, and they're not doing anything until they do it with us. So it's important that we maintain converged standards when we do have them. And we're about to start business combinations. Some suggested at our advisory council meeting this week that it might not be that interesting to do at the moment because activity's been so low. But I, the important thing is we are obliged to start it. If we assess that it's too early to do any work on it, we will stop. But I've had enough signals to indicate that people want us to look at impairment of goodwill. Not acquisition costs, probably not really, but definition of business, contingent consideration, intangible assets. I think there are a few things in there that people will have a view on now. They don't need to wait for a few more bit more M&A activity. So that starts now. We expect to put a request for information out towards the end of this year. It's going to take us about a year to wrap that up. I don't know if anybody noticed the FASB's added a project on definition of a business to its agenda. But I spoke to Russ yesterday, Russ Golden, and they're not going to do any work on it until we finish our review, because we both have the same definition of a business. So again, the FASB's been very responsive in making sure that we keep these things alive. And then just to wrap up the other things on here, there's a list of research projects. We've been doing quite a bit of work in the last 6 months. Talking to national standard setters, we don't have the staff here to pick up 12 projects and just run off and do the work. We are relying on standard setters and others to do some work with us. And we're identifying priority projects on our list and putting teams together to do some work. Sometimes teams, and sometimes we're asking standard setters to do a little bit of targeted research for us. And the four that we'll are going to be at the top of our list are BizCom under common control, discount rates, the equity method of accounting, and the FICE, or financial instruments or characteristics of equity, which is important because it links in with the framework. So you'll start to see a little bit of action on those projects. The good news is we won't necessarily be putting things out for you to comment on just yet. We're actually trying to define the problem more carefully. But you'll see that work developing and coming onto our board agenda. So, if there are any questions at all?
And with the equity method of accounting, why did you put that high up?
Partly framework, because in terms of looking at measurements or as well. But the other main reason to me is that if you have a look at the requests we're getting into our interpretation committee, there are so many coming in at the moment, and a lot of our amendments are to deal with the conflicts between the concept of a group and the equity method, and there are conflicts right throughout the standards, and we still haven't made it. The board has avoided the question, is this a measurement basis or is this a one-line consolidation? And we have so many. It's just every month.
I don't disagree, but it's coming in.
So that's why we're putting it up as a priority, because otherwise we just get issue after issue coming to the interpretations committee that we're not quite sure how to deal with, or we get a solution and that creates another problem somewhere else, another conflict. So I think the more fundamentally we can look at that and quickly, the better.
Robert.
Just a quick question. Did you mention that the four projects just being ceded to national standard setters, the discount rate?
No, not ceded. Right. No. We control them.
Sorry, the research.
Not even ceding the research. There are some cases where we work with them. We'll ask them to do some specific things, such as the discount rates. The Australians have been through and actually put together an inventory or catalogue of the discount rates we use in the objectives. So that's, in other words, so in a way we are contracting out some of it, but it comes into us and we control it.
I just wanted to clarify which national standard set is.
For discount rates, it's Australia and Hong Kong. For BizCom under common control, it's actually just about all Asian, Oceanic countries. I haven't got the list here, but my recollection is it's Hong Kong, mainland China, Korea, Japan, and I think Australia. Are all interested in that one. And so, again, the idea is we're not just going to hand the project over, but there are some aspects that we're trying to identify and document the most common types of BizCom under common control, and when people use fresh start type accounting, and when they don't use acquisition accounting, when they use pooling. Because we're going to see if we can actually carve out of that one. We think that the IPOs are the most common thing, rather than internal restructurings, and if we can deal with these IPOs as discreetly, we'll try and do that, because it's a big issue.
Hey, Alan, can you briefly comment on disclosure requirements, assessment of going
of going concern. I'm a little sort of what the HF is the scope. I'm a little concerned that, realistically we may only get boilerplate out of this. And if so, why bother?
There's going to be the clarification. I think is I'd have to look at the words in the standard now. It's to do with the what factors were considered in assessing going concern. I can't remember what the exact words are in IS1. We'd be asked by the IAASB to have a look at that. We've been doing a bit of work. It's come to the board once, I think. Interpretations Committee's had a look. We have a meeting next week with the IAASB here in London to work through some potential wording changes with them, and then that will come back to our board in September. I can't tell exactly what it is, but it's clarifying disclosure requirements around the assessments that were made by the entity in looking at going concern. We initially were going to put that out a bit quicker, but it's there's a lot more work and thinking has been done on it. The plan now is to take that requirement and package it up with all the other disclosure things that we're doing as part of our disclosure, the feedback statement that says we're going to make some changes to IS1. Because we don't want to put a little IS1 amendment out and then a package out there and so on, so we're going to bundle them together. So that should come out as an exposure draft, we think, in about November, if we can get the other ones through the board in September and October.
Thanks.
If I may, again, on one of the upcoming EDs, fair value measurement unit of account, what's the that?
There's two things we're looking at there. One is how you measure an investment in a subsidiary or associate or a joint venture in the separate financial statements, if it's required to be measured at fair value. If it's a level one measurement, do you have to use P times Q, or can you make adjustments, for example, for control premiums? That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is what the scope is of portfolio measurement techniques in IFRS 13, again, for things that are measured at level one. And that's a good example of one where we were about to go out with proposals to propose clarifying that for subsidiaries, associates, etc., it was P times Q. But because this portfolio question came up subsequently, we've decided to wait and to do one exposure draft that would address both issues. And it's all about the clarity of interaction of IFRS 13 with other standards, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Good. So I'll hand it over to Steve to start the disclosures and the